Sometimes I just listen to instrumentals by themselves. No, I just listen to them. Just listen to them. It's not. That's what lo-fi is.
Yeah.
It's just
an instrument.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't freestyle.
All right, I'm gonna go. Yeah. Itchy pockets, Rocky time.
That was horrible.
You lost it so quick. That's sad.
If you guys don't know, this is New Slaves by Kanye West. I would recommend to listen to this at your discretion.
I like Yeezus. I like this album.
Yeah.
I don't care what nobody say. It was different. This was not a normal album. This was a very different sounding rap album.
It was pretty unique.
Now, Life of Pablo. I'm 50-50 on it. I hate Ye. I cannot stand the EP. He keep calling it an album, but it's an EP. That is an EP. It's only got 8 songs on it.
Yeah. Well, welcome people to the ET podcast. As you know it, this is Eric.
Oh, sorry. I was just waiting for the drop.
And of course, you already know the silly one.
I'm Trey.
He's the silly one.
Actually, no, he's not. Anyways. No. But yeah, so today we have a special guest, Kathy.
Thank you.
Returning.
Yes. She was here last week for our first year anniversary, and we're having her back to basically be very controversial.
As I said, that's my favorite thing to do.
Yes.
Hey, sorry, real quick. I found out that it was another podcast anniversary.
Really? That same day?
This past week. The Joe Budden podcast, it was their fifth year anniversary.
Right. Tell me, it was around the same year. I mean,
that was Righteous and Ratchet. I'm talking about the Joe Budden podcast, though.
Oh.
This was their fifth year.
Fifth year.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. They started 2015.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, welcome back, Kathy. So, tell us about you, Kathy. What are y'all about?
There's a lot about me. My name is Kathy. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm just kidding. No, I'm 21 years old. I grew up in St. Paul, but I'm originally from El Salvador, a small country in Central America that is very highly populated. My mom's Honduran, which is a country right next to it. So I'm a mixed Latina.
Nice.
I came to the U.S. when I was 2 years old, and I've been in Minnesota. We arrived in January of 2000, which was very traumatic coming from a country that's 70 degrees all year round.
Oh, yeah. Especially coming to Minnesesota.
Like, yeah, I'm always like, why did we come to Minnesota?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. What else do you want me to say? There's a lot I could go on.
What are you doing right now? Like, what are you doing? What's your profession? What's up with you?
Right now, I work as an immigration paralegal for an office in downtown Minneapolis.
Sweet.
So I do a lot of the family-based petitions in immigration law. I start law school in August. Congrats. I still don't know where I'm going to go because they offered me a lot of money.
Subtle flex, but okay.
I submitted an appeal for my scholarship, so hopefully I get more money.
Wow, so on top of what you got, more money?
Yeah, I'm demanding more money because I deserve it.
Okay, all right.
You got to know how to advocate for yourself.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's like a business, definitely trying to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
That's true.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to become, I don't know, there's a different areas of law I want to do. Like, everything's interesting. Right now I'm also doing, so the office I work at, they also do business immigration law, which is very interesting, actually. I thought it would be boring, but it's actually very interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also, I have a 5-year-old son.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Wow. he was here last week. He's kind of in the background of the past podcast. But
yeah, so if you guys heard the the chewing and stuff on the microphone. Yeah. It wasn't one of us.
Yeah. So he's going to be 6 in May. I had him when I was 15. So
yeah,
it's been a long road, but we've survived.
I'm glad to finally meet someone that is saying that they want to be a lawyer and actively doing it, because I'm about to kill my sister for that, because she's been saying that she wants to be a lawyer, but she hasn't taken any steps to do it. So
the one that calls us every time.
Yes. Okay. Who's probably about to, actually she called me when I was at Guitar Center.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. So,
well, if she wants guidance, I'm more than happy to help.
Okay. I might tell her.
Yeah. I mean, because I wanted to be a lawyer since I was 7.
Yeah.
And
did you watch Law and Order?
No, it'll go kind of into what we're gonna talk about, but basically the lawyer that helped my family is my inspiration. I actually went to go visit him like 2 months ago. He's a judge now.
Okay.
In Hennepin County. Yeah, cool. He's stepping up to juvenile court next year.
Jeez.
So I went to go visit him actually.
That's insane. And
yeah. So, and then when you become a lawyer, a judge swears you into the bar of the mm-hmm. state you're going to practice in.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping he's able to swear me in.
Okay.
That would be cool.
That would be person that inspired very, me. Very, very dope.
So it wasn't anything I saw on TV. It was my own experience.
Nah, I mean, my sister, that was just her watching Law and Order marathons on USA or whatever.
You know, it's not what like, it's on TV. Now that I work for a lawyer, I'm like,
I would imagine
in court like 1% of the time. Yeah. It also depends what type of lawyer you are, but it's like you're in court like 1% of the time.
Right. All right. I figured.
That's crazy.
All right, then.
No, but that's, thank you for sharing. So, what are we going to talk about, Kathy?
Well, I...
what? That's what...
I guess what? This is my podcast now.
Anyway.
I'll take Eric's.
You wanted to share something with us, and... Yes.
Yes, Eric.
I try to put this as like an interview, but I guess not.
Anyway, I mean, it can be an interview.
Today, we are going to talk about something very controversial.
I like your fist.
Actually, I like this type of topics because I relate to this, of course. So, and definitely will speak out to a lot of people, especially being in the same situation. And not just like, I guess it just really comes down to like being Latino, or not just Latino, but any other country. I mean, because I know there's even African people, Asian people, any people that's not from here that struggles through it, maybe.
Yeah.
Some definitely get to be part of this country, but some don't. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
And I think it's more, I think I mentioned it last week, but it gets more complicated when you bring up the fact that a lot of very inhumane policies are created on the basis of Christianity when the Bible has been very misinterpreted.
Right.
So that's kind of what I want to talk about, because I know this podcast is very much also about the word.
Exactly.
For sure.
Now, of the things that I want to start, like origination. So one of the things that we're talking about earlier was about like
the origin of things and
okay, because most of the things, and I see a lot of people, this is the thing that pisses me off when they're like, make America great, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, to me it's like, okay,
what is that? Are we going back to how it was before?
Right. Or but
what
even, do you mean even like, thinking about that, like the word itself, America, if you really think about America, it means like America meaning like Canada, US, Mexico, and all Central America.
Right.
That I'm Central American.
And even South America, because that's America in total.
Yeah.
Now, if you're talking about make United States great, then that's different.
Right. I didn't even think about that.
So it's kind of like controversial saying that make America great is like being so, I guess, self-centered that this is America and that's it. There's Mexico is like another place, or El Salvador is somewhere foreign, like
even Canada. That's, I feel like it's the country that's most strongly related to the U.S.
Yeah. And I mean, and they speak some different languages in Canada. French. Like they speak French and Patois and
there's
stuff.
There's also a lot of Native people in Canada that are ignored.
Yeah. See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and I guess with like the origination is like, because we were talking about this earlier, like when people came here to America.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't okay, we're just going to get to it. Like, white people, they were not originally from here, of course.
No. They came from British colonial areas and stuff.
And you know when the whole process of colonization began, they used the Bible. I still don't understand it myself, but they somehow were able to get from the Bible that they were somehow predestined by God to, like, conquer the world. It's called Manifest Destiny. Mm-hmm. That's what the whole concept is called.
Yeah.
And so that's why, so when they arrived to the U.S. back then, the native people call it Turtle Island, but the entire Americas, the entire strip of land.
Right.
They were originally here to convert people to Christianity. So back then, the people that were higher in society were Christians, and everyone else was at the bottom. But once everyone was converted to Christianity, they were like, well, we need to create a new way for us to keep power. And that's when the concept of race began.
Wow.
Was when everyone was Christian, they were like, wait, but now everyone's the same. So we need to create a way where we stay higher than everyone else.
Right.
So, okay, now everyone that's not white is lower in society.
That's crazy. So, see, that's new. I did not know that.
If you really want to talk about how dumb it is, Christopher Columbus came over here and thought he had discovered India.
That's why they're called
And he was like, it was like, nah, we're Native American or whatever they would call themselves, you know.
And my last name is the ship he was on.
Somebody, yeah. That is so funny.
Yeah.
I think about that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's where my last name comes from, unfortunately.
It's like they argue with him. It was like, we're not what you think we are. He was like, nah, y'all Indian. All right, this is, I mean, we discovered this.
Like, it goes to like, that, like, what gives them an authority to, like, rule over things or declare things like, this is mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, technically, that's what really happened. Like,
it's that entitlement.
It was like, they felt entitled because I'm this, or because I'm a Christian, or I'm a different color, I'm white.
Mm-hmm.
I own this land. Mm-hmm. I discovered it.
Right.
It was, and I guess it kind of ties with, like, what you're saying with the Bible is, like, I don't know if they use, or I don't know how it was set up back then.
Yeah.
Even if you really think about it, I was just thinking about this verse that, like, whatever your feet touches, like, you'll conquer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was thinking maybe even that would be one of the verse they use, like, whatever I step in. But that's the thing. I don't know if that was already in place there, but
yeah, I haven't really researched where exactly they got the idea.
Because I know, like, the Bible wasn't actually set up. I forgot what was the year when it was, like, actually set up. There's this thing, too. Like, there's a really crazy thing. You remember how we did, like, the study of the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how it was originated, like, how it was implemented, all that. I think it was... I need to go into that. But
yeah, I would have to revisit that. I'm kind of fuzzy on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
maybe using those type of things that they take ownership or entitlement of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And it still happens today, but I'm not going to get into all that.
The whole idea that we're supposed to go out to create disciples, but it doesn't, we're not supposed to do it forcefully. We're like,
right, you can't
kill people. Like, you know, they were killing anyone that didn't want to convert. And that's not the way you do it.
It's the same thing with, like, Islamic extremists and stuff like that. It's like, oh, you don't want to believe what I want to believe or what I believe in, beheaded.
See, and that's the funny thing. Like, in the present day, we, like, those are terrorists to us, but that's the way Christianity was spread in the U.S., unfortunately. Yep. And that's why we have the toxic westernized Christianity rather than the actual Christianity.
Paul. Paul was, and
the
Pharisees.
Isn't even
running around
biblical
doing
word you know, like, back then they didn't go around, oh, I'm Christian, you know.
Yeah
That's true. Yeah. And I mean those are really great points, because even right now my mind is going into different things, because
that's,
like,
what I'm saying, like,
I'm thinking about, like, because they were running, like, persecution from Catholics in Europe, you know what I mean? It's like they were running away from that because, obviously, you know, they would burn them.
Mm-hmm.
They would do all this crazy stuff to them. And that's part of the reason why they wanted to flee to a different place, because they wanted freedom. They wanted liberty. They wanted justice. They wanted all this crazy stuff that is in the Constitution, which, you know, tying to what we're going to talk about, is not being implemented to today's society
That's the thing that makes me mad. You know, the reason people are fleeing now is very similar to the reason that a lot of white Americans' families fled Europe. But it's like, oh, my family did it the correct way, but the correct way has evolved over time.
Right.
I don't know. There's just so much to unpack. No, and that's good.
So talking into that point with your, self-experience, I know you mentioned you want to talk about the reasons why your family flee or came here into this country. So I know you were little, you were 2 years old, but eventually I'm sure your parents told you the reason. So if you don't mind sharing that, what led them to be here, to come to this country?
Yeah, so originally I didn't really understand it until I was in college. So I went to college at the U of M and I majored in Chicano Latino studies. That was my undergrad degree. And my senior project in order to graduate was on the Salvadoran migration experience, which was a 30-page long project that I did in one night. But I think Eric remembers that. So basically in El Salvador and most of Central America in the 1980s were going through various civil wars, which the US did fund. They wouldn't have lasted so long, but the US sent money. I think El Salvador Civil War was the war that the US most funded after the Vietnam War, foreign war, something like that. So it lasted 12 years. Basically, the US wanted to stop the democratically elected government because they were afraid that it would mess with their economic benefits in El Salvador.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I can give a whole history lesson on it, but that would take up the whole episode. So after the war was over in 1992, the whole country was basically left in wreck. Like, it was hard. You know, after a civil war, I mean, it's a small country. 75,000 people were killed.
Yeah.
Of what we know, they're still finding like bodies in the country. That is insane. They're still finding bodies. And then after that, there was a hurricane in 1998 called Hurricane Mitch that also destroyed the country. So after the Civil War, the hurricane came, which was a mess, especially because my family is mainly in the agricultural area. So it destroyed crops and everything. So in 2000, my dad came. He came a year before us. And then my mom and I came in 2001, which is actually interesting because we came through tourist visas. And we overstayed them. So that's also the wrongful concept that we all crossed the border because I didn't cross the border. 40% of immigrants don't cross the border.
Wow.
That's true.
Wow. I'm getting a history lesson.
I know this person, like Salvadorian Adan, his mom did the same thing, but instead of coming to the United States, she went to Italy. And she just overstayed her visa.
A lot of Mexicans do that in Canada because you don't need a visa to enter Canada if you're Mexican.
Really?
Yeah. So we are actually at work. We have a lot of clients that are Mexican that enter through the Canadian-U.S. border because you don't need a visa to enter Canada if you're Mexican.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sad to say
I want to go to Canada, can I go?
Well, you can't re-enter.
I can't. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, sorry, I don't want to put your business out there.
I'm an ignorant American. I don't even have a passport. I've never been out the country. Like, I know nothing.
He got a passport before you.
Wow. Like, I know nothing. I've barely been to any of the states. Like, I mean,
have you been to Wisconsin?
I went to Wisconsin. I've been to.
You were in California.
Maybe like 7 or 8.
You went to Florida. 7 or 8.
All right, let's see. All right, we're going to. I was born and raised in North Carolina, so that's one down. I moved here.
Yeah.
That's Minnesota. I went to Florida. Yeah. I went to Wisconsin.
I went to Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
South Dakota.
California.
Georgia.
See?
Wow, you've been to more states than me.
I feel like there was one more.
There you go.
I just can't think of it.
You're good, bro.
I was in Cali last month. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't live there.
It's so bad to live there. I could visit, but living is horrible. Right. They don't have backyards.
All right, we're getting off track. Sorry. It always happens.
Okay, so I was at the park. Okay, so the day my family entered, actually, so my mom and I entered January 13th, 2001 at 11:30 a.m. We entered Miami, and my mom called my aunt saying that we had entered the U.S. and everything was fine. And my aunt told her that 2 hours before, there was an earthquake I think it was like 6.5 on the Richard scale.
Is it in Salvador?
Yeah, in all of El Salvador.
Jeez.
It destroyed like 80% of the country.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
God, man.
Dude.
So my mom was, my mom to this day.
Hurricane.
Yeah, earthquake.
Earthquake.
On top of that, the violence. You know, I don't know if you know, if you've seen the violence. Everyone knows about the violence.
Yeah,
so
I've heard
that's
about
from
it.
The Civil War. That's actually people that were deported by the U.S. back to Central America. So it was wars that, jeez, gangs that were started in the U.S., not in El Salvador.
They did. Mm. Yeah.
They started in the prison system.
A documentary about it, because all they wanted to do was protect themselves.
They
couldn't do it.
On that one movie with Tom Cruise, the one where he, what was it called? Tom Cruise. Did he go to El Salvador?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Dude, yes. Dude.
Because that talks about the...
No, well, he's not.
I don't know.
It's called something about American Made.
Yes, that's
so
it. So he went there, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he...
Okay.
And they would bring Salvadorians.
The CIA.
The CIA would bring Salvadorian people here to the U.S. to train them for military. But obviously, they're like...
Well, they were taking... He was like... It got to a point where he was not moving drugs anymore.
Nah, he was,
and he flew weapons to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was another thing. And it's like... Then the CIA...
So you know
yeah, a
history.
Little bit. The CIA was like, you know... If you get caught or whatever, we'll act like we never knew you.
Like never
you know
knew that, and see that's
so
crazy.
Yeah.
If you really think about, like, oh my god. Anyways, keep going. I'm sorry.
It's insane.
So yeah, I guess I just wanted to point that out, just to say, like, ever since then, I'm just like, I was meant to be in the U.S. You know, I feel like if that earthquake would have happened like before we took off, I probably wouldn't be here.
Right.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's a little bit of why I've been passionate about immigration law, because it's just been my whole life story. Like, I have no choice but to be passionate about it, because it's a part of my survival.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, because when I was like 9, my parents were going to be deported, and I was supposed to go with them, and I was like, you know, that was very traumatic for me as a 9-year-old, because I didn't understand what was happening.
Right.
So that's why I can relate to the current crisis with children at the border and with children being separated from their parents, because I've been through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I just want to end the many misconceptions on people like me. And then Mexico is a whole nother history lesson that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess pointing my way and my, how is it, like, in my side, like, normally, well, my dad, like, left a year before we actually came here too.
Mm-hmm.
And the only purpose for him was just to come here to make money, because obviously the living over there in certain areas is bad. So I mean, employment wasn't good. Obviously, you know, everybody was like hungry, didn't have enough food, enough money to eat or to just like have a sustainable life.
Right.
And his thing was that he was going to come here for a year to work and send money for, like, you know, for the stuff we needed. But honestly, that doesn't happen.
Right.
Because, like, now, you know, his promise that kept him here for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I mean? But obviously, the reason was because of that, a better life. You know, being able to improve yourself. And he brought us here with that reason. But obviously... A lot of people do things out of necessity, and I actually did cross the border. I didn't walk it; it was more like on a truck.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but I was probably like 7, 8 years old, and I remember I was riding, and this was just like what's it called? The dang it! You know how there's like a one cabin truck? You know, like there's not. Like,
oh yeah,
cabins, there's one cabin. And I was literally sitting behind the back seat, and it was just like this small of a space, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Imagine like going through the desert with rocks and all that, so you're just jumping up and down.
Yeah.
And literally in that little cabin, it was like at least 7 people, and it only fits 3. You know what I mean? So it's like crazy.
That was insane.
And I remember like the first night we went through, like we actually got caught. So imagine you're thinking of this 7-year-old, you know. Like on his knees with like his hands like this,
and see
you
that,
see like the
like
the,
that's insane.
The helicopter, you know, around you with like a bunch of dudes with weapons, pointing at you.
That's like
so it's like crazy. Like that was my experience.
And see, it's similar to what happened when Jesus was born. His family had to flee, otherwise he was going to be killed.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, we have our Savior that fled. He was a refugee.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're over here saying, you know, proposing policies that go against what that story is.
Right. It just, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I understand that, like, you know, they try to take, or so they say, they try to take the steps to make sure that it's, you know, it's just a matter of safety, you know, because you don't know who's coming into the country and all that. I understand that. But then the way you treat people once they get here, regardless, you know, if they're up to no good or whatever it may be, you know, throwing them in like concentration camps and stuff like that. Like the way that they did, what was that, like 2 years ago?
With the children?
With the children and all that. Yeah. Like, and it's probably still happening.
It's still happening.
It's like, that is no way to treat another human being. You're like, at that point, you're almost, you're no better than Hitler almost, you know, like if I, you know, want to go out on a limb and say that, you know, it's ridiculous, you know.
You know, I had a cousin that crossed like 5 years ago and she was caught. So she was placed into, they put them in these very cold rooms with like a tinfoil blanket. Like, I think you've seen them on the news. And so she was basically like this refrigerated room and she actually ended up getting pneumonia. And she was deported. Right. So she was sent back with pneumonia. Like she almost died.
That is ridiculous.
That's insane.
That.
See, and I mean, one of the concepts, I guess, because obviously I experienced it, and a lot of people, especially like American people, they don't know, in a way, the struggles people have faced, because obviously living here, if you compare a person already being born here, they don't see those struggles. Like, I mean, you have this, you know, kid growing up in a perfect family type of way, whatever. Like, I guess the only biggest thing is just, oh, my parents are divorced or whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, what you see typically.
I mean, that can still have a traumatic effect.
Yeah, but the majority is like just.
But yeah, it's not.
People that are not, that are ignorant to. Because the only reason why I'm saying this is because at work, you know, when speaking to my boss, he would say like, okay, well, because, you know, I have to renew my my DACA in order for me to keep working, like a permit in order to work, right?
Yeah.
And obviously he gets a notice of it that I need to renew it or whatever, or else like if I don't get it done within a certain time, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, so he's always on top of it. But for him, he was like, why don't we just apply for a green card? And I'm like, it's not that easy. He was like, oh, well, I did it. And I'm like, yeah, because you have an American wife or and you came here legally. He's from Belize. You know, I don't know his story because he's very quiet, like secretive. But anyways.
Belize is an interesting country.
Yeah. But he was saying, just go ahead and apply, or just any white person, like they were saying, just go and apply. And I'm like, it's not easy. It's not easy like that. Why? Because one, obviously I came here illegally. And then two, it wasn't my choice. I just followed my parents. I wasn't going to be like, no, I don't want to at the age of 5 or 6.
Right.
Tell them I'm going to stay here.
Right.
I didn't know what the heck was happening. When I woke up, my dad was gone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what am I supposed to like expect?
Yeah.
So coming here, a lot of people think that it's easy to just go out and get certain things to live here, and or they would just hit and just go back. It's not that easy because I built my life here,
right?
And nothing is over there.
You tried to build a better life here. Like, why would you leave that behind?
Like,
you know.
And I feel like the wrong is that people are just ignorant and actually knowing facts.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to listen to a dude talking on the screen saying this, this, and this about immigrants.
And it's,
do you have an actual connection, a personal connection with a certain person? Because I made my boss, you know, I gave him a whole layout and a clear picture of how we live.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "Whoa, I didn't know it was that hard."
Right.
"Oh, wow, I didn't know it's really difficult." Or, "Oh, I didn't know this is the stuff you have to do
right.
in order to stay in this country." Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So.
And it, yeah. that whole thing, I mean, America's whole thing is the land of the free, the home of the brave. So, of course, that's going to draw people in to try to build a better life.
Yeah.
But you're going to deny them that, mm-hmm. that, I guess, right to try to do that. Like, I mean, you got people like, you know, like y'all's families have been through that. I mean, I have one of my best friends back home. His name is Israel. He's from Nicaragua. I can't ever say it right.
Nicaragua.
I can't say it. Yeah, he's from there. And like they he's told me about how violent it is there and like how bad it is and stuff. And then I used to have a friend named Mikey also. He's from Puerto Rico, and like the part of Puerto Rico he lived in, he was saying how bad it was over there too. And their family just, they left. Like,
I'm sorry, I don't have some stuff to say, but the crazy thing that I, cause every time I sit and like think, like my mind goes crazy. Thinking back, you know, when people say, "Oh, why don't you go back to your country? It doesn't have the same things or whatever."
No, but the thing is, if you wouldn't be trying to come here.
If you really think about it, if you say that to a Salvadorian, where the U.S. was involved in their basically destruction,
mm-hmm.
how are you going to say go back to your country when your country itself? But see,
people
don't
know that. People just want to say they just want to have something to hate.
Or think about this, like for the narcos and all that crazy drug war in Mexico.
Yeah.
It was initiated because of people.
America.
It was because of America as well.
And even to this day, they need to focus on stopping the demand in the U.S. Because as long as the demand exists in the U.S.,
exactly.
the cartels are going to find a way to get drugs here.
Exactly. Right. And it's right. And the thing is, like it would see in the movies, the CIA, all this people getting involved with it because obviously there's money in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you really think about it, most of like this involvement with all these like DEA or whatever, they make money off of it. And you see,
right.
you know, certain,
and that's why more and more drugs, I mean, weed is going more and more legal. So it's only a matter of time before other drugs end up being legal because it's profitable for the top 2%.
But yeah, you know? And that's just my only thing. It's just like the ignorance that people have when they say go back to your country when the U.S. is involved everywhere.
Or when they say like, "Oh, my family did it the right way. Why can't your family do it the right
way?"
And
see, it's like, but we didn't start at the same place.
Right.
It's like you started with $1 million to just blow. That's not even like your investment money or nothing like that. You can do whatever
or
with
even
that.
Like what you say, like people coming here, obviously there were no rules.
It wasn't until 1890 that an immigration system was started in the U.S. And most Europeans entered before 1890.
1890, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. So they set that up.
Actually, these are good points.
It wasn't until 1907 that entering without inspection became illegal. Mm-hmm. So the way a lot of people enter now through either Mexico or Canada. So throughout time, the U.S. has actually demanded Mexican labor in the country. So throughout the 1900s, Mexicans weren't really considered immigrants. They were more considered temporary workers. So all the immigration restrictions didn't apply to Mexicans. But it wasn't until like the different times, like during the Great Depression, that immigrants were deported because they were like, "Oh, well, now we don't need their labor anymore. So let's get rid of them."
Right. After they helped build this country.
That is crazy.
Y'all. Oh, my gosh, man.
And
like,
let's see. I have a lot of timeline here, but it's all over the place.
Well, the original, I like this one, the original purpose of Border Patrol, according to historian
Aristide Solberg.
Yeah, was to prevent the entrance of alcohol. Is that what it is, alcohol?
Yeah, it was originally meant
not
to
people.
Yeah, to prevent the entrance of alcohol, not people. That
That's
was the original purpose of the Border Patrol.
Wow.
Defining someone
that is insane.
By sea, not land. An immigrant. That's what an immigrant is. Immigrant is a is that what?
What is a constantly evolving notion.
Sorry, I can't. Yeah, I mean, these are great things.
Oh, here it is. So when Europeans were entering the U.S., they were given permanent status after 2 years of living here, no matter how they entered. So as long as you could prove that you had been living in the U.S. for more than 2 years, they were automatically forgive everything and just be like, okay, now you can stay here forever.
That is crazy.
And it's interesting because Native Americans are the people of this land, but they weren't given right to citizenship until about 1954.
And that is...
Which is less than 100 years ago. Yeah, before that, Native Americans couldn't vote. They couldn't
own. I think
my
grandpa was born in 1954. Like...
Yeah, a lot of people are still alive that were born during this era. You know what's interesting? I've talked to a couple of people that were in the South during Jim Crow era, black men, and it's interesting to hear their stories. And it's like you don't really know their stories until you sit down with them.
Yeah.
It's easy to sit there and be like, you know, name calling, like blah, or whatever, until you actually sit with people and listen to them.
My grandparents, and I was fortunate enough to meet both sides, like my grandma's parents and my grandpa's parents. And my grandma has told me stories about how, like, even when she was growing up, there was still black and white water fountains and stuff like that, because there was still segregation going on around that time. And it's insane to see. People always say, like, we've made so much progress and this and that. It's like, it wasn't until recently that we even made just an inch of progress. Like, this is still relatively new, like segregation being done and Jim Crow law and all of that stuff. Like,
and even like,
it's like
old people now, they live through that racism phase.
And it's still racist.
We have Bernie running for president who walked with MLK, you know?
Got arrested. See, I forgot about that.
Bernie Sanders was in all of those protests, and I'm like, what? And he's running for president?
That is insane.
No, and even like what we're talking about, I mean, tying it to this. Like, considering, like, black people, they were forced to be in this country.
Right.
Not just as slaves. Mm-hmm. And if you really think about it, now seeing all this, in a way, America uses its power to, like, obtain what it wants and creates these rules to benefit them. Like, and I'm so hooked up with fact that everywhere you go, there's always U.S. involvement somewhere, and you see all these countries being,
you know,
all crazy.
You know what's
up.
Funny? So, the like black people, it's like one of the most, African Americans are one of the most hated races, right? But it's one of the most loved, because you constantly see white people stealing black culture. Like that lady who was like, I invented, it was Kim Kardashian. She was like,
gosh,
I invented braids,
you know,
or whatever. And it's like,
Kanye, she
somehow
thinks she can own black culture.
It's like, and then hip hop is the number one genre in the world. If you look, like, people in like Asian countries, like, are adopting, like, they still breakdancing. Like, that was years ago when we came up with that. Like, that was in the 80s. It's like, I don't know.
Sports. Everything you
dominated by African American people.
Or even like, you know, black white women wearing dreads. And it's like, your hair doesn't need it, you know?
That is true.
It's just,
it's hated, but yet this nation has used its culture.
Like, America would be nothing without Hispanic people, black people.
And like, I feel like that's what it is. Like,
Native American people.
If you really think about it, like, okay, just a simple thing. What is so cultural about United States? If you really think about it, burgers, cowboys? No.
No.
It doesn't even define United States. If you really think about it, but if you think about like Mexico, oh, I can talk to you about like all the different types of food that we make,
or right,
about the different traditions it has, or
right,
like in Salvador, or like black, you know, cultures and stuff. You can talk all about it, but if you really think about it, U.S. is just a mix of all of these.
Yeah,
of this great,
and even
nations.
Our own cultures has a lot of
subcultures,
African beliefs,
like, yeah.
Because so Latin America had more slaves than the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of, and in Latin America was different, because in Latin America they allowed them to keep their traditional beliefs versus the U.S. forcefully assimilated slaves. Mm-hmm. So that's why our culture still has a lot of African belief styles, like reggaeton.
Yeah.
It's originated from Africa, you know, from like hip hop, you know, it's kind of, it's very much true. With hip hop.
That is so true.
I still think that's funny how it's called reggaeton because it's like you think reggae, but it's, it doesn't have that tone. It's like,
it has that little tone at the end.
But, you know, it goes back to what I was saying about how like Hispanic church and black church is similar. I hear Pastor Hugo screaming at the top of his lungs all the time, you know, like when those services are going on, because my break room is like right behind, know, the chapel, sorry. But it's like, America wouldn't be anything without us.
That's true. Now, you know, living at that note, we're getting close to wrapping up, but definitely there's going to be a part two.
For sure.
To this.
For sure.
I could even include a criminal law in it because criminal law is a whole nother.
And that,
I want to hear you talk about
it. It will tie to it because now with all this culture, it's like now seeing, you know, in today's society, you know, the cultures that are being targeted the most and the only ethnic groups that you see in these systems are mainly minorities.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I guess that's also why I want to. So with lawyers in the U.S., about 10% are black, 8% are Latino. No, wait. 8% are black, 6% are Latino. Of the Latino lawyers, less than 2% are women. So less than 2% of U.S. lawyers are Latinas. But the criminal system is mostly black and Latinos.
So
being represented by white people.
And it bothers me working. So I work for a white immigration lawyer, and just conversations with everyone in the office. It's like, you guys don't really understand the people you work for.
Right.
So the lawyers there started as corporate lawyers and they ended up in immigration law.
How does?
No. And in my head, I'm like, what?
I don't think that's the best job for y'all.
And I've like, said, like, I've mentioned little things that I assume an immigration lawyer would already know. And they're like, oh, really? I didn't know that. And I'm like, you've been a lawyer for like 20 plus years.
Dude, what the heck? And see, that's the crazy thing.
Because they were willfully ignorant, probably.
Yeah.
That's probably exactly what it was.
And what bothers me. So, and then going back to the church, you see all these missionary trips that are being planned out, but they're also voting for the people that are incarcerating these same children that they're going to go for missionary trips for.
That is true.
So I'm like, if you're going to go to Central America, but you're going to come back and vote for the people to lock up these children, then don't go to Central America.
Just stay here.
As a missionary.
Right.
Please don't do that to my people.
Yeah.
That is crazy. That's good. We can start on that because I know, you know.
Anyways. We definitely need to get it.
So, there's going to be a whole season. Sure.
That's crazy. Yeah, and actually the girl that was gonna come in and talk to us was about the same involvement, like maybe, I don't know, we'll probably get into about the struggles that her as a born Latina here in the United States, what she has to do, you know, in order to help her parents because they are illegal. Yes, there.
Jeez.
So, you know, like all those crazy stuff where, like, you know, she gets to travel, goes to Mexico, visits her grandma and whatever, but her parents are, they can't, you know?
So right.
It's crazy. And I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of struggles with that. So
that is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thank you guys for tuning in. This was a very great topic.
This is very enlightening, you know, because I didn't know as much, you know. I knew a little bit, you know, but for sure.
And thank you, Kathy, for coming in.
Yeah,
of course. Really appreciate it. Feel free to throw your positive, negative comments at me. I'll reply.
For sure. And for everyone out there listening, just stay educated. That's what it's all about.
For sure.
If you want to learn about criminal law, read the new Jim Crow era. That's a really good book. If you want to know more about immigration, there's a good book called How Immigration Became Illegal by Aviva Chomsky.
Okay.
So, just throwing that out there.
All right.
Sweet. Awesome. Cool. Thank you guys for tuning in. This was the ET.
This has been the ET podcast.
We're getting more comfortable with controversial stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. So as you know, my name is Eric.
I've been Trey.
I'm Kathy.
And don't forget to follow us Instagram, Snapchat. Well, actually, no, we don't have Snapchat.
Why? You have Snapchat.
Whatever. Oh, just... Apple, SoundCloud, Spotify, and definitely
Facebook, Twitter.
No. Anyways, only Instagram. You know, YouTube is coming soon again.
Yep. Still working on those videos. It's a lot to catch up on. So
thank you guys. And I'm not going to say it.
Anyways, yeah, please don't. Thank you.
Stay fresco.
Well, all right. That's a different twist on it. See you guys.
Thank you.